We shall now turn to the chapter which we read together. Our text for this morning is verse 19. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. I wonder, do you love God? Does everyone love God? Obviously not. But we all ought to love God. Jesus says, this is the greatest of all the commandments, the first and greatest, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, and all your soul, and all your strength, and all your mind. That's the first commandment, the greatest commandment, the most important. It should be easy to love God, because God is love. We're told that in verse 8 of this chapter, and again in verse 16. God is love. It should be easy to love someone who is so loving and kind as God is. He causes his sun to shine upon the righteous and the wicked. He causes the rain to fall upon the just and the unjust. Surely then, we should love him. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. If only you could appreciate it. Surely God's goodness and kindness and provision leads you to repentance and to love. It should be natural for us to love God, but actually, it's the opposite. Sadly, all of us by nature hate God. We hate him. And that can be seen in the fact that we don't keep his commandments. If you love me, you keep my commandments. But we hate God. You can see that and take just one commandment. They remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labour and do all thy work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt rest from all thy works. For in 6 days the Lord created heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is. And God rested on the seventh day, wherefore he hallowed it. God says, give to me one day in your week. It's not a lot, really. One day out of the week. But we won't even give him one day, will we? By nature, we want every day for ourselves. And we want to please ourselves, to enjoy ourselves, and to do our pleasure on God's holy day. God gave to us the ordinance of marriage for our happiness, for our blessing, and for the blessing of the human race. He gave it to mankind right at the very beginning of human history. But we know today how marriage is attacked and trampled underfoot, how many people see no need to get married and live in different immoral relationships. And then after they marry, after a while, they lose interest in the person they're married to, and so the marriage comes to an end. And then in our society today, we call something marriage which God calls an abomination. In so many different ways, we attack marriage. It's God's ordinance. If we loved God, then we would love all the things that God has ordained, and we would keep his commandments, and we would delight in the things of God, But we show that we hate God because we love ourselves. And we love to worship ourselves and please ourselves and satisfy our own sinful desires. God came into this world. The Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. He came in love. And what did we do with him? We took him and we crucified him. Whom you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. That shows what we think of God. We will not have this man to reign over us. We will not have this God to tell us how to live. We will be a God to ourselves. We'll be king of our own life. We'll please ourselves. And even when the Son of God came to be our Savior, we took him, rejected him, hated him, crucified him. They hated me without a cause. That's mankind then, by nature. We love God because he first loved us. It takes God's mighty, powerful love to come into our lives to transform us. It's only sovereign grace that will save us. By nature, we don't want God. So first of all, today, salvation starts with God's love for us. There is a kindness and a benevolence in God to all men. Good unto all men is the Lord. O'er all his works, his mercy is. But there's a special love in God towards some people. There's a love which is infinite, cannot be measured, eternal, it never had a beginning and never will have an end, unchangeable, remaining constantly great. God's love is like God himself, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. And that love, he focuses upon some people. God could have loved every man and woman that he created. Or he could have decided not to love any. But he chose to love some. And he has every right to do that. Does God love you? Do you love God? Whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate. God's love is a love wherewith he foreknew us. He foreloved us. He loved us before we were born. Before he created the world, before time began, he loved us in eternity. Indeed, his love for us had no beginning. And that's a mystery. He always loved us. And we are creatures of time. He loved us. He set his love upon us. And whom he did foreknow, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. Having loved us, he planned that we would be like Jesus, and he planned that we would be the sons of God. And he elected us unto the adoption of sons, so that we were chosen to be the family of God, sons and daughters of God, whom he foreloved, whom he loved from the beginning. Not all, but but whom he loved. And everyone whom he loved, in this wonderful way, they shall all be the children of God forever. And then we see God's love in the covenant that he made with us. He made a covenant with all mankind, a covenant of works. And he gave us Adam to be our covenant head. And it was, do this and live. Be obedient. Be good. And I will bless you forever. But as we know, Adam failed to keep the commandment. He sinned against God. And so we sinned against God, and the covenant of works was broken. But God has made a new covenant, a covenant of grace. And he makes this covenant of grace with his elect people whom he foreknew. And he gives to us a new covenant head, not Adam this time, but the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is our covenant head, and he stands for us. He is our surety and guarantee, and he takes our sins and dies for them and earns for us salvation and pays our debts. And so through Jesus Christ, we have salvation. The covenant of grace, the covenant of God's love and mercy. A covenant that began before we were born. A covenant that is unconditional. Well, sometimes people say faith is a condition of the covenant. But then what is faith? Faith is the gift of God. So even if you talk about a condition, it's a condition which God himself must fulfill. He must give us the grace to believe. He must give us the faith. It is all of grace. It is all of God. If any of it were left to us, then because of our sinful natural tendencies, none of us would be saved. It is all of God. His doing. Wondrous in our eyes. Praise be to God for the glory of the covenant of grace. Thank God that God relates to you today, not in a covenant of works, but in a covenant of grace. It's dependent upon himself. It's gracious and it's merciful and it's loving. And it's reaching out to you. God first loved us. He loved us when he foreknew us. He loved us when he made his covenant of grace with us. He loved us when he sent his Son to be our Savior. God so loved the world. God loved to such an extent. God loved with such amazing love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so the Son of God came into this world to be our substitute, to take our sin, to suffer the punishment that our sin deserves, and so to earn salvation for us. In God's love, he spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. And how shall he not then, with him, freely give us all things, when he spared not his own Son? The Son of God died for us, and God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. God's love is shown marvelously in Christ. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. God commendeth and praises his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's love. Immeasurable love. The length, the breadth, the height, the depth cannot be measured. God's great love in sending a son. And God's great love too in giving us one to intercede for us. For Christ, having died on the cross, rose again on the third day, ascended up to heaven, and there makes continual intercession for those whom the Father has given him. Interceding, the advocate with the Father, the mediator between God and men. He is able to save unto the uttermost, seeing he maketh continual intercession for us. How wonderful God's love that he gives us, one who is able to intercede for us, and one who willingly and powerfully intercedes for us, and one who never loses a case in interceding for us. Even when we were rebels, dead in trespasses and sins, Christ was interceding for us. And that's why a change came in our lives. That's why we were born again. We see God's love too in his providence towards us. Consider the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Consider the lilies. Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And shall not your heavenly Father clothe you, O ye of little faith? God's providence, providing for us as his people, his children, and even in our unconverted days, especially looking after us, keeping us from danger, keeping us from death, bringing us to the point of conversion. God's providence. Our heavenly Father, he will give us every good gift. When you give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to you and give the Holy Spirit to you? We see God's love in the gospel call. How wonderful it is that there came a time in our lives when we heard the gospel and heard it with power, with clarity, reaching to our hearts. It's a wonderful blessing to have the Bible in our own language. It's a wonderful blessing to have the gospel preached in our country so that we can go and hear it. It's a wonderful blessing to be brought under the sound of the gospel, the good news on the way of salvation, the glad tidings of great joy. We see God's love in giving us the gospel and the call to repent and the free offer of salvation. We thank God for these precious teachers we were given, precious examples that were influencing our lives. We thank God for those who pointed us to the Savior, God's love in these things. And God's love too in this, in that there came a day in our life when we were convicted of sin, when we were touched with a concern, when we became aware of our sinfulness and need, saw our guilt, and realized that God's wrath was against us and that we needed to be saved. The Spirit, the Comforter, convicting the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. What a sign, what an indicator of God's love that we were not left like so many others, dead in trespasses and sins, without a care for these things, but God came into our lives and convicted us of our need. And what a great example of God's love. What a great illustration of his amazing relationship towards us, and that the day came when we were born again, brought to life. Our hearts opened, and Christ coming to dwell in our hearts. And all this happened before we had any love to Him. While we were still alienated and enemies in our minds by wicked works, haters of God, and yet, God loved us. God loved us with His electing love from all eternity, with His covenant of grace, sending His Son to die for us on the cross, giving us the Lord Jesus Christ to intercede for us. God loved us in His providential provision, in presenting us with a gospel call and sending His Spirit to convict us of our sins and causing us to be born again. Has this happened in your life? Are you one of those who have been born again? You must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Look to the Lord to do for you what you cannot do for yourself. Secondly, I would like us to notice our appreciation, our experience of God's love. To begin with, God loves us, but we don't feel it, and we don't know it, and we don't see it. We have no awareness of His love. We might have some awareness of God. Yes, indeed, there is a certain consciousness of God in every heart. But it's a God that we tend to ignore. A God that we fear. A God who is our judge. It is not a loving God. It is not the God of our salvation. We reject Him. We hate God. We make a God of ourselves. We're dominated by self-will, self-pleasing, self-satisfaction, self-exalting, and God-denying, and God-opposing, and God-resisting, and running away from God. But then one day, something happened. And instead of running away from God, we were drawn towards Him, and we felt His love. One day, our eyes were opened. We saw, yes, we saw our sin, and we saw our lost condition, our hopelessness, and the hell to which we were going. But not just that. We saw Christ, the Savior, beckoning to us. God the Father calling us. Look unto Me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. Come unto Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We saw that yes, we were sinners, hell deserving, but we saw there's a Savior. We saw the Lord Jesus Christ, a loving Savior, taking our sin, taking our place, nailed to the cross of Calvary. On that cross, condemned He stood, condemned for us, suffering and dying in our room and in our stead. Our hearts were touched and melted and drawn. We felt His love. Yes, we saw our sin, and all our guilt and how terrible it was, but we were washed. We were taken to that fountain, opened for sin and for uncleanness. The blood of Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The Lord Jesus taking away our guilt and making us whiter than snow. It's a wonderful thing when you see the blackness of your heart and then the blackness is gone and it's white as snow. When you see the handwriting of the ordinances, when you see God's commandments condemning you, and then that condemnation blotted away by the blood of Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. The wonderful thing when you feel the love of God and the joy of God and the peace of God flooding into your heart. The Holy Spirit spreading abroad the love of Christ. And you see a beauty that you never saw before. And your heart is drawn as never before to Him. And He becomes the center and the delight of your soul. Have you felt this, my friend? The love of God in your heart. Have you seen it? Come to know it. Come to appreciate it. God's great love. There's a wonder in adoption. Children of wrath, even as others. In a sense, yes, we were children of the devil. But then something happened. Something took place. We were adopted. And adopted by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, given a place in His family, and made heirs and joint heirs with Christ. The adoption of sons through Jesus Christ. The wonder of that love. We appreciate it, we feel it, we're thrilled by it, elevated from the dust, raised from the dunghill, placed with the princes of God's people, our feet set upon a rock, a new song put in our mouths, our God to magnify. We still sin. Ah, yes, but we find forgiveness. There is cleansing. There is an advocate with the Father. Our sins and guilt have been washed away. We feel God's love. We feel God's love in keeping us, preserving us, protecting us, looking after us, keeping us from temptation. We live in a world where it's so easy to sin. And there are so many shameful and terrible sins that we could commit, and it's so easy to go astray, kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Praise God for His preserving love and grace. Praise God for the prospect of heaven. The house of many mansions. The paradise with the river of the water of life clear as crystal. The place where there's no more sickness or pain or suffering or death. Where God wipes away all tears. We love Him. Because He first loved us. Have you felt, have you appreciated the love of God in your own soul? Finally, our duty and delight in response to this love. We love Him because He first loved us. Our natural response, our spiritual response to God's love is surely to love Him in return. It's a wonderful thing to be loved. It's an amazing thing when a young couple fall in love with one another and they feel this tremendous love for each other. But what is far more amazing is God's love for you and me and falling in love with God. And that's what happens when God opens your eyes to see His beauty, to see the loveliness of the Lord Jesus Christ, to see the wonder of what He has done for us, and the glorious prospect that He has prepared for us. And we love Him because He first loved us. Our duty and our delight is to love Him. And in a sense, this is where our assurance of salvation comes from. The love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost whom He hath given unto us. The love of God filling our hearts so that we know that we have passed from death unto life. From darkness to light. We have been transformed and born again and changed, and God's love in our hearts is the evidence of that. Look at verse 20. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's good. Love for the brethren. Love for your fellow Christians. That should be natural. It should be easy. It is the evidence of God's love in our hearts. When He comes to live in us, God is love. And when the God who is love dwells in our hearts, surely we will love one another. If we say, I love God and I hate my brother, we're liars. We're dishonest. We're not saying the truth. You can't love God without loving your fellow Christians. And when you love God, immediately at the same time, you love every man and woman, boy and girl who's a true Christian. You love them because they are God's people and because Christ is in their hearts. Not only that, but we see in verse 2 of chapter 5, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. Here we have evidence of the love of God, keeping His commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. Our love is expressed in obedience. Love is not just a feeling, though it's certainly a feeling, but it's also a practice and a life. And we show that love for Him in keeping His commandments. We want to. We love to. We delight in doing it. It's not as if keeping the commandments is a hardship. As Christians, we delight in the law of God after the inward man. Dig down inside us and you'll find that there at the bottom of our hearts, there's a delight in God's law. In every one of His commandments, in the Ten Commandments and every other commandment in the Scriptures, we delight in them because we delight in God. And God is good. And He would never command anything but what is good. And all His commandments are good and for our good and for His glory. So we love God. And because we love God, we keep His commandments. And not only that, but loving God, we love His presence. We love His fellowship. We love His house. We forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. We love to be in church as often as we can, to be at every service, to be worshipping God there. It's our delight to be listening to the Word, to be searching the Scriptures. It's our delight to be praying, because we love God and we love to talk to Him and we love to be near Him and we love to hear Him talking to us. We love Him because He first loved us. Having loved us, we love Him. And if we love Him, we love His glory. We want to see Him magnified and adored. We're grieved when people blaspheme His name and when they curse and they swear and they mock and they ridicule. We love His glory. We love His honor. We love to witness for Him because we love Him. And we love to see people saved. We long to see others coming to appreciate Him and to worship Him. We long to see His church growing and His kingdom being extended and people being gathered into the church of Christ. Because we love God, we love our fellow men and we want the very best for them. And we can't just ignore them as they run down the broad road to hell. We're concerned for them and wish to draw them to the Savior and to bring them to salvation. We love to see people saved. We love God. We love His day, the best day. We love His house. We love His services, His worship, His people, everything that belongs to God. We love heavenly things. We set our affections on the things that are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. The friend of the world is an enemy of God, but we are the friends of God. And therefore, we love godly things and despise and reject and turn away from those things which are contrary to God, which are sinful, which are evil. We love God because He first loved us. Do you love God? Do you really love God? Do you feel that love for Him? Do you show that love to Him? Is that love displayed by your life? Are you a witness to God? Are you obedient to God? Are you delighting in God? Are you hungering for God? Do you love God more than family, more than friends, more than pleasures? The Apostle Paul could say, "To me, to live is Christ." Christ is everything. Christ is my all and in all. To me to live is Christ, to die is gain. We love Him because He first loved us. Do you love Him? If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Let him be accursed. Maranatha, the Lord is coming.